Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to take a special look at the world of allergy and sensitivity with a special emphasis on hard-to-treat medical conditions like fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. We're going to talk to an extraordinary and innovative practitioner. She is Dr. Ellen Cutler. She's written a great book called Clearing the Way to Health and Wellness, Reversing Chronic Conditions by Freeing the Body of Food, Environmental, and Other Sensitivities. Dr. Cutler is a doctor of chiropractic medicine. She has over 25 years of clinical experience as a chiropractor, and she's been a good colleague of mine. In fact, she reminds me that I interviewed her many years ago for the Health Talk program. She's actually considered one of the pioneers of contemporary natural medicine. She is an internationally recognized authority on enzyme-based therapy, which we're going to talk about, also on diagnosing hard-to-track-down sensitivities and resolving them. And so she has a new book, and she has an active practice in Mill Valley, California. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Nice having you aboard, Ellen.
Great to be here with you. I'm so excited about this.
Good, good. So let's start the discussion by talking about allergy. You know, when we talk to conventional doctors about allergy, they have a very narrowly construed view of allergy. They, you know, think about allergy as if you sneeze, you wheeze, if you've got a runny nose, breathing problems, that constitutes allergy. But you really expand the scope of allergies in your book and in your practice. So talk to us about how conditions that we ordinarily wouldn't consider allergy related actually turn out to be based on allergies or sensitivities is a better word.
Yes. Well, you know, it all started actually began with my health issues that I had when I was younger, although was not diagnosed until I did my professional training. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis.
Oh, okay.
And the only options that were given to me medically were to be on steroids and possibly surgery later on. And that wasn't an option for me. As being in the holistic field, I thought there's got to be something else, because I noticed, I basically, Dr. Hoffman, lived on really one food a day. I could only eat grapes, and I lived on that for a long time.
In other words, you were just, at that point, you were so intolerant of foods. The only thing you could get down were grapes?
So the only thing I could eat, and I was in my training, and I had to work at night.
That's
not
going to work out too well long term.
No. So I lost a lot of weight, and energy was low. As you can imagine, it was hard. My stamina was quite low. So I lived with this for a long time, and I tried everything you can imagine, everything out there, and nothing worked for me. All kinds of supplements, and, you know, it just didn't work. I was like allergic or sensitive to them. It would make me, it would intensify or exacerbate my symptoms.
Uh-huh. And
so
we do see a lot of patients like you, and they're a nightmare to deal with. Very hard to do, because you give them supplements, the very same supplements that they might need, the vitamins and nutrients that supposedly will repair their conditions. But then we call it the princess of the pea syndrome. They're sensitive to everything.
I'm so glad you said that. And I have to just say, that the one thing, I had such a great time on your show, and that's why I was so excited to reconnect with you. I remember when we did the show,
yeah,
and I was talking about this.
Yeah.
I remember somebody called in, an elderly man, and he said, Dr. Cutler, I have to tell you that I read your book, and my wife has been suffering with some, I forgot exactly what it was, but you talked about being sensitive to all kinds of her vitamins. And so what I did, and I remember this so well, I experimented with taking her off everything, and her symptoms got so much better. She felt so much better. It's so interesting that we're talking about this,
right,
maybe 20 years later,
well,
and we're talking about it. So it's so interesting.
You have
anyway,
an extraordinary memory, because
I remember
seeing you, because I, you know.
I thought, did I pay this guy to call you or not?
Exactly. He was from Central Casting. You know, we gave him $25 to give you that million-dollar question.
But it was so funny because I remember it's a big show and a lot of people listen to your show. It was really fun to be there in New York in studio with you.
Oh, yes, indeed.
But anyway, so I tried everything. I came across somebody. I did some postgraduate work in orthopedics, and I came across a doctor who kind of became my mentor, and he said to me, Ellen, he said, did you ever hear of a digestive enzyme? And this is like, you know, maybe 34 years ago, really. And at that time, nobody, that wasn't on the radar. Nobody even knew what an enzyme was, especially a digestive enzyme. You know, you knew in medical school, you know, the body produces digestive enzymes. You didn't know anything about taking something as a supplement. So, you know, not losing hope that there would be something out there that would work for me, I went to see someone who told me, assessed my situation and said, Ellen, you're carbohydrate intolerant. And all the symptoms of carbohydrate intolerance made so much sense to me. Getting bloated a couple hours after you meal, fermenting all these foods, and mood swings, bowel problems, craving for carbohydrates. I mean, the whole scenario sounded like me. And I said, okay, I will try it. So believe it or not, I took a digestive enzyme with every meal. I remember taking two, sugar, starch. It had all the digestive enzymes in there that really are in raw food, but, you know, we don't chew our food well, so we're not really...
So what you're saying, Ellen, though, is that the answer wasn't to completely eliminate or restrict carbohydrates. It was just to help your body process them better with the proper digestive enzymes that broke down the constituents, those starches and the various complex oligosaccharides that your body was rejecting.
Exactly. Although I went on to change my diet and I don't eat any carbohydrates, but that's the rest of the story.
Oh, okay.
But believe it or not, I took this enzyme and within 2 weeks I never had a symptom again of colitis.
Okay. And,
and I was bad. I was really bad. And all my symptoms. So the other thing happened is that all these other symptoms that I noticed also improved. So I became one of these people, like I'm sure you have, that I read everything and studied everything about enzymes and became, you know, somewhat of an expert in the in what an enzyme is, what it does, and the use of digestive enzymes and even systemic enzymes. And one of my books is all on enzymes, Two Micro Miracles.
And actually, you know, what's interesting about enzymes is that a lot of the best writing on enzymes, as you know, was done in the later part of the 19th century, the early part of the 20th century. It's almost a lost art. They really had perhaps a better sense of what enzymes could do for health, and then we got away from it. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're right on. And I write about that in my book that Dr. Beard,
of course.
People, and, you know, and the research they had, and he was so frustrated and became severely depressed because nobody was interested in what he had to say, in what the use of enzymes that in medically, and, I mean, some of the things that he found. So I reiterated looking at that and wrote a lot about that and studied a lot about that. Yes, it's in the early 1900s, a lot of enzymes, a lot of the research was done. And no one even cared or looked about it, but it changed my life. And honestly, there's not a patient that leaves my clinic that does not go on a digestive enzyme. I really believe it's the first most important supplement that people should take.
Do you have any specific ones that you recommend, or are they available from your clinic? Do you have a dispensary where people can investigate this?
I have a professional line that I use that is a specific one called ProSol. That's through Enzymes, Inc.
Okay.
And then I have a consumer line, too, that's also distributed there. But they could also, it's called Wellzymes, and they can also call my clinic, too, and I'm happy to help people with it.
Is that information available at bioset.net? Is that your website?
No, actually, it's drellencutler.com.
Okay, great.
I've actually moved beyond Bioset now. It's Dr. Ellen's new technique, and that's a whole, I've gone beyond. Bioset was great, now I've even gone beyond it.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a moment.
To follow up with your question, I did find over time, started to develop my own technique and own work with people just doing enzymes and nutrition. Of course, I was doing chiropractic. I also went back, since you knew me, went back and got a medical degree as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I apologize in terms of my introduction, because I'm actually going off the bio that I was given.
Yes, so well, I never really got licensed as a medical doctor because I just practiced my own energetic work.
Right.
I wanted to get the education because I really wanted to combine both things into my system that I developed. But I have found that even though people take digestive enzymes and reduces your food sensitivities a great deal, just taking an enzyme, I find that people's health issues has a lot to do with allergies or sensitivities or things that disturb them that they are reacting to on many different levels. And that's how my work has evolved.
And not just the traditional things that we associate with allergies. I mean, you've actually written a book entitled Live Free from Asthma and Allergies, so that's more about maybe traditional allergies, but you ascribe food intolerance or environmental sensitivity to a lot of different conditions, right?
Exactly. You know, the environmental, there's toxicity issues that can create sensitivities, there's things inherited, of course, there's the whole emotional aspect, and even just our thoughts. I always remind my patients, and when I teach this, is that, you know, let's say someone comes in and says, well, you know, my husband has Lyme, and I have all the symptoms that he has. Right. I think I have Lyme. You know what? That person developed some kind of reaction to Lyme.
Right.
Could cause certain symptoms that's basically in their head, but, you know, not in the head to brush it off, but something to work with as well. So in my work, I look at all these levels of reactions or sensitivities, why they're there for that individual. That's what sets it apart. It's very tailored to that particular person. And also I developed a way through acupressure and some other kind of energetic tools to actually eliminate or correct those reactivities. And you get some results, or sometimes almost instantaneously, but it really helps these people that have these chronic issues like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue or some of the autoimmune, like colitis and Hashimoto's thyroiditis, as well as lupus or rheumatoid arthritis and candidiasis. Some of these things that I know you see patients and a lot of doctors see patients and just throw their hands up. They don't know what to do. Well, I have really studied, worked, and researched and have had really successful results. That's why I was happy to get this book. It's actually it was written a while ago, but I updated the book, and I'm so glad to get it out because I think so many people really do have these sensitivities, as well as these digestive issues, as well as these problems detoxifying that contribute to their particular condition, whatever it's called.
Well, talk to us a little bit about how the immune system works, because some people have kind of a primitive understanding of the immune system. They think it's like an on-off switch, or maybe a more sophisticated version of that is it's like a rheostat, you know, like a dimmer switch where either the immune system is too high and you might have, you know, autoimmunity and allergy, or it's too low and you get sick all the time. It's more complicated than that, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I always say I think our immune system is overbuilt for success. So, believe it or not, our immune system really works more optimally than people feel they do. Unfortunately, sometimes it overworks, and that overworking of the immune system can cause symptoms for somebody like chronic fatigue, maybe causing more fatigue, or fibromyalgia causing other kinds of symptoms, including insomnia, etc. But what happens, I believe, is that due to the body not digesting well, undigested food can seep into the bloodstream.
We talk about the leaky gut sometimes. Do you apply that theory to your patients?
I really do feel that is important. I rarely find anybody who doesn't have, quote unquote, some chronic condition that doesn't suffer leaky gut. And probably to different degrees depending on the person. And it's not so much that food allergies or food sensitivities can cause it. What I find is that overuse of antibiotics early on in life, as well as chemical sensitivities, or anybody who's gone through traditional cancer therapy is probably suffering a leaky gut situation. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take a digestive enzyme and you don't adequately and optimally digest your food, some of that undigested food can leak into the bloodstream and over time can cause the immune system to start overreacting.
So it's perceived as an outside invader when it's actually something that is a normal food that you might be taking in.
And yes. And then what happens is that when your immune system starts attacking it because it's overworking, it starts attacking it, then we're bombarded by viruses or bacteria or parasites or tumor cells. Our immune system is not adequately available now or optimally working adequately to deal with those particular things. So you notice you get sick more often, you get flu or cold or bacterial infections, sinus infections, or your body's has more serious problems like heart disease or cancer. So, you know, these sensitivities play havoc on the immune system. And then, again, like I said, it's overbuilt for success. The body starts dealing with some of these immune reactions. So let's say it starts attacking certain things. Let's say get large in our synovial tissue in our joints, then we notice we have more inflammation or joint pain. Because I always say, you know, anybody over 50, and we're probably both over 50, has arthritis. Everybody has.
Your secret will remain, you know, with me here forever.
No, I mean,
and our thousands of listeners.
Right. You know, so we all have arthritic changes. But why do some people have inflammation? Why do some people have pain? Some people don't. I mean, exercise is important. Diet is key. And I talk a lot about diet because I think there are certain foods that promote an auto-aggressive a situation that's going on. But a lot of it is because the immune system starts attacking these toxins or allergens or sensitivities and creates this autoimmune reaction, which if it's in the synovial membrane will cause inflammation. Guess what? You have a lot of joint pain.
Right. And you use the analogy of like a cup that runneth over for the immune system or environmental load. Do you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, the load phenomena. Well, you know, it's like, for example, take a situation where a woman goes into menopause, right? And all of a sudden, she has all these problems. All of a sudden, she has asthma. She never had asthma before. Or she has this skin eczema, or itching all over her body.
Right.
And I say to women that it just didn't happen overnight. You know, the fluctuation in the hormones was a stress or change to the body, and it's a stress because it was a change.
Maybe the straw that broke the camel's back because they were just below the threshold over which they might start to exhibit symptoms, and the stress of menopause may have lowered that threshold so that all those environmental influences play havoc.
Exactly, and that's the load phenomena. So my work and what I do is when someone comes in, I can look at menopausal symptoms. I don't like just look at menopause. What are your symptoms? I developed a program and a system that actually looks at the underlying reasons that you are eliciting those symptoms. And most women are allergic or sensitive to their own hormones. I never met a woman that wasn't.
Uh-huh.
That's one possibility. And then we probably have food sensitivities that could have been there ever since childhood for many reasons. Emotional could be one of them, or not digesting, et cetera, or, you know, toxicity, or we eat too fast. all in all. It could be some environmental.
What are some of the environmental things that you see causing problems?
Mold is huge. In fact, my next book, because I've always wanted to write a book just on women's issues, because I see, of course, a lot of women. I think most of us do, mostly. A big part of our practice is women. And
for various reasons. I mean, for one, I think women are more in touch with their bodies, number one, and they're also less loath to go to doctors, because guys don't go to doctors generally because they're very stoical and they wait until the very last minute. Unfortunately, that's good and bad, you know. But the other thing is that women, I mean, you know this as well as I do, by reason of the hormones, women are far more likely to develop allergic problems and autoimmune problems.
Exactly, and a huge part of this is hormones, a huge one. Like I said, you know, I always love to give this example. My daughter, who's now 23, when she started menarche, I said, I'm going to...
Menarche, there's a beginning. She's not in menopause. She's starting to get her periods.
I'm going to clear her with my work for hormones so she doesn't have PMS, because I'm a single mom and I don't want to deal with her PMS, right? And... never, Dr. Hoffman, never had one symptom. She doesn't even know what it is. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
I did one of what we call our correction for the sensitivities with her. Never, ever had PMS.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
Okay, well,
bloating and mood changes, irritability. I said, my daughter's not going to do that.
Well,
of
now that you've mentioned this, I mean, this
so
process.
You got to
share with us, with our listeners, what that entails. Is it a shot? Is it drops under the tongue? Is it some sort of electronic, biomagnetic treatment? I mean, what's the approach that you use to do this?
It's based on years of studying meridian therapy, chiropractic points, acupressure points.
Okay, so that sounds like
it's almost like a biofeedback type treatment.
Sounds like you do something to specific points of the body.
Right, while you're connected to the specific thing that you are desensitizing or correcting. And it can be done at home. In fact, my book and my website gives you the video and how to actually do it at home. We have so many patients.
So you can sort of self-administer or self-clear.
Right.
Once you have gone through the process, I mean, I guess you have to initiate it. But patients can learn tools for self-help.
I love that. And I love giving it, because I have people that come from all over the world to see me, as you do, I'm sure. And what can they do? And I Skype with them. I do a lot of Skype with people, become their health consultant in many ways. And what can we do at home? We always teach them, and they know how to go home and work on it. And, you know, the technique is very alternative. You know, it's not something.
No, it's absolutely not mainstream. It would not be endorsed by the American Academy of Allergy and Immunology.
Yeah, but I have a lot of medical people send me patients because I've known in this. You know what? And it works.
Because they're sick and tired of hearing the complaints of those patients, so they say, "Look, whatever voodoo Dr. Cutler does, she seems to get people better. So let her take care of this."
I always say it's like a biofeedback. It's like, you know, you're telling, you know, the information I'm getting, I gather this information. You're changing the body's response to this information.
Okay, so there's a sort of a reprogramming aspect to that. You're reprogramming the nervous system and the immune system in such a way that it no longer reacts in a improper way.
Right, exactly. Like I had a woman came to see me today who's actually a medical doctor. She's specializes in asthma and, you know, pulmonologist. She's taking care of her young kids right now, so she's not practicing. But she came in for asthma.
Okay.
And all her kids. And she said to me, "Dr. Cutler, I've been seeing you for a year." And she doesn't come in that often. She said, "I have, knock on wood, I have been asthma-free. My kids have." She said, "This is a miracle." She said, "How could I ever go back to doing conventional work without using this kind of technique?" Isn't that amazing?
She's going to be in trouble when she finishes her leave of absence, because once she's seen the benefits of this, she's not going to be able to dispense conventional medications anymore.
said, but, you'll never be able to do it again. You know, she said, you've ruined my practice.
Right. So the question I have...
she said, it changed my life. She said, I used to have infections all the time. One of the things I found that really I've seen amazing results with, you know, asthma especially, people just don't get sick anymore. And I don't know if it's because of the enzymes or the work that I do, and I change their diet and I help detox, because that's the whole system. And the reason I do it all, because I know it's all important to do it all.
Right.
But people don't get sick. You know, they used to get chronic, all the itises, sinusitis or bronchitis or cystitis. And they don't get them anymore.
The question I have for you is, I do this kind of work too, but the one element that I don't employ is your system of desensitization, which it sounds a little bit like applied kinesiology, or AK, which is something that chiropractors do. Is it related to applied kinesiology? Can you talk a little bit about that process?
Well, that's a great question, because I initially studied and used muscle testing, and I still do it all the time, in the beginning of my work. I soon found, however, that I needed something to substitute, because I found it's an incredible tool. I don't care what anyone says. I'll debate anybody, anytime, any way, anyone about how amazing the tool is. If you learn it,
I'm not going to debate you about it. You know, I personally don't understand how it works. I don't do it, but I also don't put it down. So I guess that you would call me an agnostic about it. I'm not an atheist, and I'm not a believer, but I'm an agnostic about it, and I know that it works for many patients. I just don't quite understand from a scientific basis how it works. But there's a lot of things that work in science and medicine that we don't yet understand. So tell us, you know, what is AK and how does your process sort of an evolution from applied kinesiology?
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that too, because I'm always skeptical as well. So I only know that this works because I've used it for, you know, most of my professional practice. But you know, kinesiology is really, in the terms of applied kinesiology in chiropractic, is finding a strong muscle, and you can use any muscle. That muscle will weaken if there's a structural imbalance and ligament or soft tissue imbalance. You can use it just as a kinesiology in that way. But other people...
In other words, an example would be, you know, if you... want to see if someone has a spinal problem, you might press down on their leg, and if one leg is weaker than the other, you would say, gee, maybe there's a spinal root problem on one side, there's a pinched nerve, so there's not enough nerve impulse going to that leg. That clearly, you know, that's very understandable from even a conventional medicine standpoint.
Exactly, and you read my mind. That's exactly what I was going to say, like the gluteus muscle. If there's something in L4 or L5,
yeah,
you will have a weakness in there, as opposed to maybe the other side you won't, or you should be strong. The other people have done kinesiology over the years, found that, you know what, you can use it for other things. It could be a yes-no answer, that yes is strong and no is weak. One of my favorite authors is Dr. David Hawkins, who passed away last year, who wrote Power versus Force, who was a medical doctor, psychiatrist. They talked a great deal about muscle testing, which I love to recommend to people, because he used it in his work and his teaching on a more spiritual level, but found that, yes, and gave a more scientific reason of how it works, that yes, you can use it at yes and no. So, for example, everybody is allergic to batteries. Everyone.
Wait, say that. Everybody's allergic to batteries.
Yeah.
Most people eat batteries.
Dr. Hoffman, you know, I live in Mill Valley, California,
and all these people have hybrids.
Well, you know what? People allergic to batteries... I'm a little skeptical about people sitting on a battery, especially kids sitting in a back seat on this battery. What are the consequences?
Yeah, the Prius. There you go.
It's interesting because everybody's
find
a nice strong muscle, and a good muscle is the deltoid muscle, because that's just strong on most people.
Okay.
So when you hold your hand, I like to do it at a 90 degree angle. You hold your hand out at a 90 degree angle. Someone presses on it, it should be strong. It should be strong to where there's an actual, you know, it's It's strong no matter what.
Right.
You put a battery in your hand, just touch it. You can even put it near you, but I don't want to go that far. Touch it.
Yeah.
Guess what? Most people, I've never found anyone not allergic, not sensitive to it.
Uh-huh.
Their arm will go down. They can't hold it. Now, what does that mean? That means it's got to be weakening their body in some way because it's weakening that muscle. I mean, you can't hold that muscle up. It's interesting.
Yeah. So, that's really a knock on the Prius.
I know. I'm not, you know, it's like I love the concept, but you know what?
Eco-friendly.
So if they're going to be health issues.
It's very Marin County to drive an eco-friendly car. But I agree with you. I do have concerns about these electromagnetic fields that people are exposed to from the cars, because those are very powerful. Those are very powerful motors, and they don't really have super strong firewalls that separate you from the big battery in your car, whether it's in the front of the car or the back of the car. I know it varies from car brand to car brand. So that is a fundamental example of something that energetically interferes with you. So do you actually feel that you can test people for foods, for example, by having them hold foods in their hand and using AK, or do you use a different technique to diagnose food allergies?
Exactly. You can use that. And that's where I started with. That's initially what I started with. Over time, I learned about other kinds of instrumentation that can be used that is connected to a computer program that can better assess larger amounts of items that you can test at one time, because there's only so much that your muscle can endure where it's just going to get fatigued, and then you're not going to get an accurate reading. So I looked into the German instrumentation, like an EAB, Vohl machine.
Yeah, electrodiagnostic testing. Yeah.
And that's what I've used. And I created an amazing, you'd love this program, a program that's called, this new one is called the ECM, Ellen Cutler Method. And it encompasses every aspect of all kinds of sensitivity testing, whether it's foods, environmentals, bacteria, because you can be sensitive to bacteria. It doesn't mean you have a bacterial infection. I have found, that's what I write about in my book, certain sensitivities to bacteria that you might have had when you were younger, that you're still eliciting symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And when you correct that sensitivity...
We know an example of which might be strep sensitivity, which may be implicated in Tourette's syndrome, for example, that a chronic strep problem might be associated with obsessive-compulsive disorder. That's actually known in medicine. So, you know, you're on the cutting edge, and
exactly,
maybe a little bit over the edge of our current knowledge, but there's certainly some basis for believing that there's a kernel of truth in what you're talking about.
Or some of the vaccines, or, you know, chlamydia pneumonia, which has been related to heart disease, too, as well. And some of the vaccines that people might have been sensitive that can cause reactions later on. There are many doctors that do work with EAV testing, some on the East Coast there, that feel that many antibiotics have been the root of a lot of health issues, taking antibiotics for a period of time. Those sometimes need to be also desensitized. Titanium in implants. I can't tell you how many results I've had for people who've had hip replacements or knee replacements that have terrible inflammation, and when you correct the sensitivity to the titanium, they don't suffer this inflammation and pain. It's sometimes a miracle that happens.
So the implication of this is that, you know, you may see a patient who's virtually a basket case like you once were. You were only able to tolerate grapes, and they weren't even doing you a lot of good. And you can actually take patients through a process of desensitization and gradually broaden their horizons in terms of food choices, supplement choices, and ultimately detoxify them or desensitize them, because sometimes it's not possible to completely remove yourself from sources of toxicity, so that they can live and breathe and eat more normally. Is that the prospect here?
I should write that on my that's the best.
That's great. You'll get a copy of the podcast. And
I should use you for my publicist.
Great.
That was perfect. That was perfect, exactly. And it's to see it in a kid, or to see it in people who have suffered for years with headaches, and all of a sudden they're not getting headaches, because believe it or not, foods are the most common culprit related to most headaches and migraines, except for hormones for women.
Uh-huh.
But
the so-called monthly migraine
to correct
or menstrual migraine.
That sensitivity to food, and then they don't get headaches anymore. I mean, and the one thing that's great is they don't have to be on medications, which is a whole other scenario of sensitivities. All the medications and the side effects that people get, that when you correct the medications, for example, yesterday I have a man who's 90 years old that's on chemotherapy for CML, leukemia.
Right, and chronic myelogenous leukemia, okay.
Yeah. Now, when we cleared that particular medication he's taking, which causes a tremendous amount of side effects. It's amazing. His doctor's amazed how he can carry on so much better than, because that's more of, that particular leukemia is honestly more in the 60-year-olds rather than someone 90. So he sees more people that have that who are younger than him that don't do nearly as well as he's doing. And a large part of it is I taught him and his wife, they're both 90, how to do it on themselves, and they do it weekly, and he has some side effects. I won't say he doesn't have any, far less than what doctors would, you know, feel that somebody that age especially would have.
I know it's complicated and it's hard to describe in the course of a radio podcast, but what is this process of desensitization or clearing like? I mean, it's initiated in your office, and then people are self-taught. What do they physically touch meridians on their body or apply substances or take sublingual drops? Or what does it entail?
It can be either one, and most of the time they're holding the particular energetic transfer, or it's a glass vial of what we're particularly clearing them on, or they can hold the real substance, let's say it's walnuts or something. There are certain pressure points, yes, meridians that we stimulate, as well as stimulating the spine through a certain process of breathing that they do in the office, and they do that procedure at home. So it's, again, using every aspect of the nervous system, the parasympathetic, the autonomic nervous system, parasympathetic and sympathetic, and reprogramming the body based on utilizing certain aspects of the body's own ability to do this reprogramming. And so it's almost like a similar kind of tapping, like EFT, emotional freedom technique, which you probably talked about on your show, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so there are similar points like that. That's also almost like a reprogramming as well. You don't have to say anything. They talk about saying anything, saying things when you're particularly affirming certain things. This is just holding the particular substance or an energetic aspect of it, a transfer of it, and then using this process. And by doing it, but there are certain things that are connected to this process that make it so successful, which makes up what my system is about. And also taking a digestive enzyme, like I said, and maybe some systemic enzymes or enzyme-based systemic formulas that have enzymes in it that are certain formulas that are helpful for inflammation of certain areas or tissues of the body, as well as looking at helping the body detoxify. And diet, I'm really, really very focused and adamant about.
So in other words, this is not like a way to provide your body with a Teflon coating to insulate you from the effects of a diet that's laden with sugar and poor quality oils, fried foods, and junk.
No, and that's really important because there are other quote-unquote allergy techniques similar to mine out there, but I am very firm with my patients about diet because you don't see the long-standing results if you don't make some dietary changes. And I usually tell my patients, you know, if you can do the diet 4 to 5 days, I have actually developed a way to test the best diet for someone. Because people come in with like, well, should I be on the paleo diet?
No, there was a sort of a metabolic typing.
Yeah, I mean, which diet? I mean, there's a GAPS diet. There's like tons of them.
Uh-huh.
And you know, what stands with this, my system.
Hopefully you don't have them hold the book in their hand, and then you'd see if they're reacting well to the puff. I would find that a little, you know, a little bit.
But it's amazing, you know. Let's say for weight loss, what's the best weight loss diet? And of course, I've studied all these diets, so I need to be on it if I'm going to recommend it.
Yeah.
And let's say it is a vegan diet. I'm a raw vegan. You know, let's say it is raw diet, whatever. Okay. So I help them with it. You know, and again, this is for weight loss. Might be not for their complete full life diet, but this is for weight loss. And you know what? When we find the right diet, it works. And it's extraordinary how it works. And they come back and say, I can't believe I finally am losing weight. I could never lose weight.
Right.
You
know? And it's a matter of different strokes for different folks. There's no question. It has to be individual.
It's tailored to the person, Dr. Hoffman. It's really tailored to them. But there are lots of things I give people at home that they can do based on my book so they can start doing their own treatments.
So the question, are you a believer in nutritional supplements, or with your techniques you feel the nutritional supplements play less of an important role, and it's just about diet and the desensitization of the enzymes?
So I do utilize other supplements, but I test people again to see what works for them. Most of the time I recommend a vitamin D3. I usually recommend an EFA, essential fatty acid supplement. I do recommend a probiotic, and there are certain things that I always put everyone on protease. That's a systemic enzyme that I've written a lot about, and that's one of the ones that Dr. Beard wrote about quite a bit too. Protease is an incredible enzyme taken systemically. It's one of the best, natural, safest anti-inflammatories there is, and it's also fibrinolytic, so it can help with preventing cardiovascular. So it's good for people who have had a history of it or want to be to prevent any kind of cardiovascular situation, because it's fibrinolytic.
Uh-huh.
It also has been proven to eat up tumor cells.
And that's
on.
Of course,
I almost give everyone.
Dr. Gonzalez, who's been a frequent guest on this program, Dr. Nick Gonzalez, of course, is a big follower of Dr. Beard's work and applies it very extensively in his work with cancer patients. In fact, he has patients swallowing literally scores of pills, including lots and lots of proteolytic enzymes.
Well, you know, I do too. I do not treat cancer patients, but I treat people who do have cancer, and I always put them on protease.
I think what you mean is you're not hanging out a shingle saying I'm going to cure your cancer with just this natural treatment, but you support patients who are undergoing cancer treatment.
Yeah, a lot of it. And again, I have a lot of doctors that send me patients, and we share a lot of people, and they know. And then, you know, and what's great about this particular thing, you know, is that people come in with, as you know, suitcases of supplements, and they're lost, and they're sick, and they're frightened, especially if somebody has cancer. So what I do is spend at least, sometimes almost an hour, going through each supplement that was also recommended by another doctor. And those doctors know I'm going to do this, as well as them reading everything they can on the internet. And they're afraid not to buy it, and they can't afford to buy it, but they buy, you know, you don't know.
You're like that reality show where they clean your closet. You know, they come and they perform an intervention on you if you're a hoarder, or if you're, you know, someone who's like a pack rat. You're gonna kind of hone it down to the essentials and tell them what's really going to work for them and what's working against them.
Yeah, so I find what's effective for them, what's compatible, and if they are sensitive to it. And if it's good for them, we will desensitize them, and then it will work better for them. You know, whether it's simple as vitamin D or something as lipoic acid or some other, you know, amino acids too, that could be something that they've been recommended to take.
Ellen, where can people get more information about your practice? What's the best source?
They can call, they can go on my website, drellencutler.com, and they're welcome to call my clinic, which is 415-384-0200.
And the new book is Clearing the Way to Health and Wellness, which you say already you're going to be revising and coming up with a new...
No, this is the revised edition. Sorry. Yes, it was written a long time ago. Maybe the one I talked to about when we first
had
your interview. This is the revised edition of... one was called immune disorders. So this is the new one that just came out, actually, a few months ago.
Great. Okay, so that kind of lays out some of your approaches. I mean, look, no question, it's a unique and innovative approach. It's an approach that can help a lot of stuck patients, and you certainly see a lot of those folks probably from all over the country and all over the world in your practice out there in Marin County, Mill Valley, California. So thank you very much for joining us.
This is wonderful. Thank you. A great interviewer. I really appreciate it so much.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Thanks again.
It's always fun talking to you. Dr. Ellen Cutler. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.